Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Hello, hello, welcome to the show. Today we have Mayan Gordon, an entrepreneur and influencer with over 2 million TikTok followers, and she's just full of good ideas and a really true hustler. On the show today, we dive into her top tips for TikTok success, her own journey to 2 million followers on the app, as well as she's got a really growing following on LinkedIn, which is where I find out about her. She's also full of just great tips on life in this episode, and I'm sure you'll really, really enjoy it. So let's get into the show with Mayan Gordon. So what's one of your favorite books?
One of my favorite books is, it's a series called Redwall. So it's woodland creatures come to life type series where there's like some elements of magic involved, a storyline that crosses many multiple books. So you kind of start with one book and they're not consecutive, like one then the next, but they kind of intertwine their storylines in different ways because they all happen on the same way the Lord of the Rings happens on like Middle Earth. And even though three different books happen in different places, same thing with Redwall. There's kind of magical landscape, and some of the stories or some of the books take part in one part, like on a mountain, and then some of the parts take place in like a forest, and sometimes they're in the ocean. So it's a really cool adventurous series.
Cool. Do you think you learn anything about life from it?
Oh, so much. Yes. Yeah. So one of the best things that I've gained out of reading books like that in fiction series as a kid, especially, and when I say as a kid, especially because as you're growing up, your brain is still developing and what you're doing to it has a profound impact on how it develops. And reading through other people's perspectives, I have to look up the word for this because I keep bringing it up. There's a scientific word for what your brain does when it's reading in someone else's voice, but you start to adopt how they think. So you start to be what they would feel, even if they're not a real person, not a real character, because your brain is literally thinking in their voice, it assimilates it. And so I really learned a lot about, I would say, empathy probably through reading Redwall books, because they're very, very descriptive emotionally in terms of the struggles and the pains and the like triumphs and the happiness that all these different woodland characters were going through. And so I got to like feel and experience all these different things, you know, in life that I would never actually experience, like my dearest, most truest love being slain in a battle, like stuff like that, right? But instead of watching it and seeing it as entertaining and me just like interacting with it one-to-one like that, but me being more interactive with it and being a part of the story, right? Isn't that what's so great about reading? Is like you become part of the story and now you're in the story when it's in your head. So I definitely learned a lot about empathy, but then also like this concept that we're talking about is so applicable to marketing, right? It's like if you can get people to put themselves in your business's story, you gotta win. You got a customer, they're gonna buy stuff from you. They're also gonna talk about you to all their friends. I think that, you know, being able to create that system is really powerful in business.
Have you got any favorite marketing books?
I would say not that are like strictly marketing books. There's a book called, I think it's called Flatland, and it is a book about dimensionality. So it basically is an entire story that explains the concept of dimensions, like what's the first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, fourth dimension, and so on. But it does it in this way that gets you to understand a concept that you probably didn't understand before. And I think this is really useful for marketing and for marketers to understand that, again, it's another perspective thing, but it's also an increased awareness. Once you read the book, you'll realize that there are creative things within your ability to communicate that you have not communicated yet, but can figure out a way to connect with your customers or your audience, whoever that may be.
Concepts of ways to think and repurpose like what you actually have and stuff. Yeah, 100%. Which nicely transitions into the next section about marketing. It's like you're a professional at this. Cool. So what would you say are your three biggest tips on marketing? And can you have one of them related to TikTok, please?
Absolutely. So one, I would say, is you have to constantly be doing research and learning new things, not only because there's just a vast amount of information out there, but if you're starting out from zero or from scratch, so to speak, there's a base level of knowledge for everything that's already happened that you have to kind of have before you can understand what's happening right now interactively and going, okay, this change with Instagram or TikTok just happened, and I can completely relate that to everything else because I have all the backup knowledge or all the previous knowledge. So do tons of research. Your brain's an AI computer. So the more data points you can give it, the smarter it can be. Like literally how smart you are is going to be based off how much information and knowledge that you have in combination with other things. So then the next one I would say is after you do all this research, you have to take massive, massive action, whatever that means, whether that's tons of posting, whether that's tons of commenting, messaging, you have to create, again, more data points, but these are more human interaction data points. So you post to get engagement. You message someone to get engagement. These are all, you know, engagement communication factors. But the reason you need to do it at a very large scale, again, is to give you enough information to make really good kind of creative decisions and analyses of what's actually happening. If you don't have enough information and you're just guessing, you can never really make steady progress in your business. And that's why I think so many businesses go and then they plateau somewhere. Like, why don't all businesses continue to grow?
Yeah.
That's a great question. How come we don't talk about that? Like, if a business is doing well enough to be sustainable, it should also be doing well enough to grow. Like, those things should be congruent with each other. But instead, I think, you know, people stop taking massive action or they stop learning. They stop doing one of those two things. And so they stop making that kind of progress. The third thing, I'll relate this directly to TikTok, would be to understand that it's a tool and not a platform. So yes, it's also a platform, but first, it's a digital tool and a piece of technology. Why it's important to understand it and look at it from that mindset is because then you start to think about how can I use it, not what can I put on it. There's much less you can do when you're just thinking about what can I put on something versus how can I use this tool to accomplish various goals.
And then what would you say your three biggest mistakes that people make in marketing?
Yeah, I think three of the biggest mistakes would be not taking a pause when things are going really well to see what you can do better still and what you can do to set yourself up for future success. So I think that a lot of businesses tend to have kind of the roller coaster ride of up and down. And that's because when they're at the top, they're not really planning and taking enough energy and resources to get them to the next up. It constantly requires new creativity or implementation or new injection of something into your business to be able to get to the next level. Just because something's working well now, it's guaranteed to not be working that well forever. Like, things always stop working because human beings get bored. That's like the main reason is we get bored with things. We don't care anymore. I would say the second biggest mistake would be really not doing research and being kind of narrow-minded in terms of I'm only this, so I'm only going to do research about this thing. So I'm only a marketer. I only do research on digital marketing platforms, or I only do research on like internet things, based things, versus going, you know, I'm an internet marketer, but I bet I could learn a lot from looking at like the zoo industry because they have to be a business, but also they like don't really want to make money. So like, how does that work? And just learning from different things and then seeing how those things that you've learned apply back into your actual area of interest. So we all, as human beings, are very, very complicated and complex. And I bet you that you listening have some really interesting curiosities and things that if you didn't have to make money and you were just here to exist, you would just kind of do research on or want to go pursue and find things out about. I think that people are not pursuing their curiosities nearly enough, and it's really limiting their ability to be creative and provide unique value compared to other people they're competing with. So especially in the marketing space, guess what? There's 100 million marketers. What makes you so different? What's going to make you so different is the fact that you did spend those 100 hours researching like snake venom, and you know all these crazy weird things about how snakes have been treated in the United States. Like, there's all these fascinating things in the world you could learn about that are going to give you unique insights and perspectives and ideas into the things that you're doing where everyone else is competing. And then, okay, so the third biggest mistake, I think, would be not being gracious enough with your time for people that you don't perceive an immediate value with. So I think a lot of people don't want to take a phone call or spend time talking to someone who they perceive as low value to themselves. So they think this person doesn't have enough money to buy my product or service, or they're just not interested. They wouldn't be someone who is interested in my product or service. So I'm not going to take as much time as I would talking to them as someone who I know is interested. And the fact is that we really don't know what people are thinking or how they feel until we've had those conversations and taken that time. And I think that a lot of people can surprise you with the amount of value that they either can deliver right now or in 5 or 10 years might be able to deliver because they've made a significant amount of, you know, personal growth progress or business progress.
Yeah, definitely. I remember I had one guest who was doing kind of like a trade thing that finished with like a Dragon's Den style pitch, and like this one guy came to his stool just like in tracksuits. He just didn't really like bother giving him the time of day because he had so many things going on. Turns out this guy was like one of the dragons, who was like one of the millionaires. Like he was like, oh crap, because he'd just been like quite rude to him just because he was like so busy. And
yeah, you know, it's something we all get caught in. I'm guilty of it sometimes too, and it comes from, I think, mostly a limited amount of time. Like when I get really, really busy and I have 15 messages from people who just want to say hi, how's it going? Sometimes I feel a little irritated. That's not my intention. My intention is to treat absolutely every person with the same utmost amount of respect and give them the same amount of my time and energy. Now, I can't do that when there's 100 people who want my time and energy on a daily basis. But what I can do is be aware of it and try and figure out solutions to get towards that goal, which is, like I said, to have everyone be treated with that high, high level of respect and time commitment. So how am I dealing with that? I'm hiring a virtual assistant, and I'm going to be putting a ton of time and energy into training them into the type of language that our brand uses and the way that we speak to people and, you know, what the do's and the don'ts are. And yeah, I think it's something when I had my glass blowing business early on and we were trying to hire employees, I didn't have like, this is how we speak and these are our core values. And I think that's the core reason why we weren't successful with hiring employees at first and had like a bunch of issues, is they didn't understand what our business or brand was about enough to really be a spokesperson for it.
Yeah, nice. What would you say is your favorite brand?
Ooh, my favorite brand. That's a tricky one. I'm not very brand loyal, to be honest, now that you're asking that. I'm really much more, I would say, like I'm brand loyal to restaurants. So like I love restaurant brands and atmosphere. So my favorite restaurant here in Spokane, I think, is Clinker Dagger or Anthony's. Anthony's is an actual chain, so that's probably a good one to mention. And I love the atmosphere. I love like where they decide to put their buildings. I love the service. I love everything about their brand and their business. Other things that I'm much more like circumstantial. I'm definitely, if I need it, I'll do the research, you know, based on a product benefits is typically how I purchase things, unless it's clothing. So I guess clothing's a good one to mention then. Like I really, really love, you know, a couple of those top designer names that make like suit pants and like nice, nice shirts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting one because you said sort of you try to focus more on like what is rather than what the story behind something is and how it's meant to make you feel. But I guess that kind of is the whole point of marketing, is to try and make you feel a different way beyond just like, because everyone's might be selling like the same value thing kind of thing, but it's sort of, why do you pick one over the other? Is because you've seen it in different places, you've heard about it, you're kind of more excited about it, maybe like the person that's made it.
Yeah, so that brings up a really cool concept, I think, is that there's like really basically two different types of shoppers, maybe a couple more broken down, but like people who buy based off product benefits and values and people who buy based off brand. And we all actually buy based off brand, but a lot of times the branding has been done subliminally. So you don't realize you're choosing that thing.
Yeah, it's branded to seem cheaper or something or these things.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of times when we're shopping, we'll be looking at two things and we're like, well, they're about the same price, so I'm going to go with this one. And that's buying based off brand, even though you did narrow it down based on a price first. It's something about the marketing from that product or something about your experiences in the past made you want that one over the other one. I would say, you know, your brand isn't always tied into the things you've created. Your brand can be tied into a larger concept or a larger community. You know, there's many, many things that go into branding.
Yeah, it's really complicated because it's not just also you right then and there. It's also sort of what you're portraying to the rest of your friends. So like if you're buying beer, maybe you don't care that much about what type of beer it is. But if it's for your mates coming around, you might want to have like...
That's a great point.
Corona, because as I said, it's more sunny and like it's a chill thing apart from like now there's a coronavirus. So maybe it's a bit weird, but maybe it's a joke because you've got the corona thing going on and like there's other things that into it. And
exactly. Yeah. Again, that makes me think of clothing. Like most of the time when I shop for clothes that I'm going to wear around the house, it's just like, you know, comfy in design. I don't care about the designer. I'm like, is there a cool thing on that t-shirt that I like? And is it comfy? Now, when I'm picking clothes for business, then I'm much more conscious about the brand and kind of who's making it. Because if anyone ever asks me, I'm like, oh, it's blank, blank, blank. Like that matters to me a little bit. I'm aware of how perception impacts business. So I market myself in that aspect.
Yeah, and if you do the same thing with your products and stuff as well. It's in like the Toyota Prius looked different so that you show that you bought an environmentally friendly car and not just like another Toyota kind of thing. And then you're like, yeah, I care about the environment. And it's not just that you care about the environment enough for the car that you have. It's also that you're showing other people that you care at the same time.
So. Yeah, absolutely. We're very social. That's why social media is such a big deal, is because we are such social creatures.
Yeah, yeah. What's been the thing that made you get so many followers on TikTok? Was it just the type of videos being quite different? Like what's been like the recipe for success there?
Yeah, so the recipe for success on that one was my previous knowledge and experience and learnings from my experience marketing on Instagram, coupled with the knowledge and information I gained about colors and how colors impact people from glassblowing, coupled with really great timing of being the kind of the first glassblower on the platform. There was like one or two other people, but they weren't doing a good job. So like the first major kind of glassblowing account on the platform, in addition to good timing of being right before Halloween. So the fact that this was something completely new, people had never really seen before outside of maybe the Blown Away Netflix show, which had just garnered more attention for it. So again, more good timing of the Blown Away Netflix show had, you know, aired a year or a year and a half previously. And Halloween is the largest source of attention right now, in my opinion, on the planet outside of like natural disasters or celebrity deaths. So what I mean by that is more people around the world get excited for Halloween and they get more excited than any other holiday. And that's because it's not tied to a religious denomination or anything. And it's all about self-expression, which is something that every human being supports. We all support self-expression. And so Halloween has grown in the past 5-6 years to be this incredible, incredible holiday where just people get so excited from all age levels, from really, really young because they're going trick-or-treating to adults because they get to like dress up in a way that they don't normally get dressed, to, you know, older people who also have their kind of version of Halloween parties and maybe want to dress up too and also want to spend time with their grandkids. So I was able to tap into this source of attention in October and gain 600,000 followers in October alone. So that's obviously a huge portion of where the followers came from, but also just kind of, you know, being first, being something new and exciting is a huge reason for this success, coupled with the fact that I know what a good video looks like. I know what a good TikTok video is. And so I was always able to fit, you know, content in through that perspective.
Cool. So what do you think is going to be like the future of marketing?
Ooh, so I think personalization and segmentation. What I mean by that is I think that every business is going to have increased ability to both personalize communications with their customers and at the same time segment their audiences. So instead of marketing to their audience as one entity, realizing, oh, my audience is actually made up of a group of moms and a group of veterans and a group of people who like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Like we'll be able to really segment our audiences into many, many groups and target them with increased personalization as technology increases to allow us to do this.
Cool. Thanks so much. But yeah, is there anything that you haven't spoken about that you feel like is a burning message inside you that you need to share with the world?
Yeah, I think that people need to be really, really honest. Like where all my success comes from was being really honest about my level of happiness and being unwilling to accept anything other than pure happiness and making a commitment to myself to go into whatever dark, scary, uncomfortable places I had to go to find that happiness. And where I think that that actually comes out is thinking, when you're interacting with people, do you get upset? Do other people have the ability to upset you? And if the answer is yes, that's because you're already upset at yourself. People actually don't have the ability to make you upset. It's not within their control. It is only ever within your control. And realizing, I just got upset, there's something wrong with me. How do I fix it so that if I had to repeat this scenario and the other person acted the exact same way, I would still be happy or at least not upset? I think that plays out into every area of your life, from personal relationships to a better business, to more patience, to loving yourself more. It's just like the core of, I think, success on this planet and in terms of us building a better society, not just a more successful society in terms of making more money, but a more successful society in terms of every person is reaching a higher level of happiness and is contributing more to the general good instead of just their own good. To me, that's at the core of where we all want to be. And that's at the core of where people find true, pure happiness, is being a part of that system of, I love myself, I'm okay with my flaws, I'm here to support other people. And when things go wrong, I'm able to find a way to still make it good.
Awesome. Thanks. It's a slightly Buddhist philosophy almost, I think. But brilliant. That's, I'm totally down with that. I'm a big fan. Have you ever tried doing any kind of like meditation, deep insight stuff?
So I've tried just like meditating on my own. I have quite the difficult time with traditional sit still meditation because I spend almost all of my time trying to activate my brain and trying to push my thoughts more. So for me to go all the way to zero is very difficult. So I try and practice more active forms of meditation. Like glass blowing for me is absolutely a form of meditation because I'm like staring at something, using my body quite a lot, but not thinking about it at all. It's 100%, you know, like your body's just responding to like how you feel. It's like a crazy weird connection you get once you kind of master the physical part of glass blowing, to where you can just like feel and think things and like you create. And that's a very meditative process for me. I'm very interested in other types of meditation. I think it's really cool to push your body. Like there's this guy, again, I'm terrible with names. He's quite famous though for his breathing exercises, and he's famous for going out into the cold and like
Wim Hof.
Yes, thank you. So like I would love to take his 10-day coursing. So yeah, I'm super, super interested in doing things like that. I'd also love to do like a complete immersive martial art experience, whether that's like a month or like, I know they tend to be longer. It's like 3 or 6 months where you go.
Yeah, let's do like a proper 3 month like Shaolin monk thing or something in China.
Yeah, exactly. Where you go and you fly somewhere and you don't speak to anyone or do anything outside of that one focused thing.
Big time.
I'd love to do that someday.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's a big commitment. So
nice. Well, yeah, I feel like I could talk to you about like so many things forever, but I don't have to make my podcast not be too long. And you also, I think, have things to do with your life besides just talking to me.
Well, I'm always happy to share. You know, I think there's so much to be gained. Just as a last thing, like why there's so much for me to talk about with you is because I didn't have a goal outside of an internal goal, which was happiness. And that led me into many different directions versus when I was in school, you know, for 18 years, just having the focus of being a vet, I got many more limited experiences. And yes, I still got value out of those experiences, but it just wasn't anything compared to, let's say, the last 10 years where I've learned, I feel like, 3 lifetimes worth of knowledge and experiences because I went in honestly very seemingly random direction.
Well, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser. And I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. We talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is at growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me at samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.